Y'all better put him in the Heisman.
Got that award right here, baby.
This is the Bud Light Seltzer Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light Seltzer, for those anytime easy drinking occasion.
Guys, I've been listening to y'all since this show aired.
Just wanted to tell Ty, I appreciate how much you know about the Razorbacks. I mean, you're very knowledgeable for as young as you are.
There are people that have saved up all year and done whatever it took just to get a ticket, just to get a glimpse at the Razorbacks.
Got my keg in the freezer. We're ready to get this thing rolling and go home, baby.
Tell me, Coach, thank you for paving the way for line coaches to become head coaches. And he had told me that in the SEC meeting. We talked about a couple of things. He wanted to know how COVID was. I said, we're fine. He said, okay, man, we're going to be ready to play. And I congratulate him on what a great job he was doing.
Hey, this is Darren McFadden. You're listening to The Morning Rush.
Live from the Busch Light Studios.
You're causing a major disturbance on my time.
If I'm here and you're here, doesn't that make it our time?
On your favorite Arkansas sports talk station. Streaming live from
hitthatline.com.
There's a lot of lions, tigers, and bears, but they ain't but one Razorback. Number one.
This is The Morning Rush.
Borderline erotic.
With Ty Richardson.
I'm Ty.
That's cool. I can dig it.
And Tommy Kraft.
Do I look happy?
What's wrong?
Lloyd!
The Morning Rush starts right now.
So we've been talking about connections with when Arkansas opponents, whether it was Georgia and Sam Pittman and Kirby Smart, whether it was Lane Kiffin and Kendall Briles. Well, another connection has popped up, and this may not be head-to-head or former coaches together, but with Ed Ogeron as a former defensive line coach, he is one of the reasons that Sam Pittman is your head football coach today. Not anything he necessarily did directly, but indirectly. I mean, this is one of the few guys that went from a defensive line or an offensive line position, not being a coordinator or anything like that, to becoming a head coach. And his success, I think, gave Hunter Yurcheck some background and some validation saying, hey, this could work at Arkansas as well. It is a Recruiting Thursday here on The Morning Rush. We are live at World of Wireless here in Barling. Come by and see us this morning. And we are brought to you by Breeden RV. They are having their last sale right now in Van Buren. And despite everything going on, they're still getting in new trailers weekly, and they are marked down as soon as they hit the lot. These are brands you know and brands you trust. Forest River, Dutchman, Thor, Coachman, and so many more. The great thing about Breeden RV is your new purchase comes with free maintenance for life. Let's say you want to put away your trailer RV for the winter. They can do that too. Winterization special starting at just $99. Plus, they'll work on all makes and models. Ransom and his staff will make sure that you're well taken care of at Breeden RV. The Breeden RV Center in Van Buren, your friends in the RV business. So it's cool to hear Ed Ogeron on the SEC teleconference yesterday mention what Sam Pittman had to say to him at SEC meetings, and then as well just talking with him in the conversation. You know that Sam Pittman is very appreciative of what Coach Ed was able to do at LSU, because I think he knows he wouldn't have the job at Arkansas without him, maybe a Mario Cristobal and some other guys that kind of took that first step as either offensive or defensive line coaches.
Well, there's definitely some merit to that, and absolutely you needed someone to go and be the first to plant the flag as an O-line coach or a D-line coach or a non-coordinator and have success. I mean, the reason Ogeron was successful, and remember, he wasn't successful at Ole Miss. You know, he had to go and fail once to have a chance.
Saying the Hummer commercial wasn't successful?
No, I'm saying he wasn't successful as a head football coach. He didn't win games.
You're putting it lightly. They sucked.
He got fired.
You're
now
putting it very lightly.
But you know what he did? He recruited well, and he set the table for Houston Nutt to go in there and win a couple Cotton Bowls, get to a couple Cotton Bowls and be successful. And then when Houston Nutt ran out of his recruits, he failed. So why has Ed Ogeron generally been successful across his career as an assistant and now a head coach? Because he can recruit well. And I think that's one reason Sam Pittman has been successful over a quarter century of coaching college football is he's a good recruiter because he builds good relationships. And, you know, there's a lot that goes into being a head coach, but, you know, having a good base of recruiting and being able to have a good system for recruiting is key to no matter where you come from as a head coach. And that's the tie that really is the connects the dots with both those guys.
It's an admirable quality for sure that you have to have as a head coach in the SEC. And the line play on both sides of the football, both Sam Pittman and Ed Ogeron both understand how important the line of scrimmage is in this league. Now, their backgrounds, Ed Moore on the defensive side of the football, and then Sam Pittman on the offensive line and the offensive side of the football, they're coming from, I guess, two different sides of the ball, but they still understand, again, the trench warfare that occurs in each and every Southeastern Conference game is vitally important. But it was cool to hear Sam Pittman and Ed Orgeron speak to that yesterday. And we've talked about personal connections as far as former coaches with each other. You have the brother-in-law between Jeff Libby and Kendall Briles, or Jeff Libby, however you say his name. But this is kind of a different connection, but it's still a connection nevertheless. And I know that Sam Pittman is very grateful, and he's earned it to this point, obviously, based on where their record is. But I'm curious to see just kind of what kind of reception you see from them at the game. This is going to be a fun football game, I think, come Saturday. I know that we've talked about Tom Murphy's report. He's going to join us later in the show at about 8:45. Richard Davenport's going to join us at 8:05 this morning. And then we're going to have on Eric Musselman this morning at 7:15. He's going to talk about Isaiah and Mace. Isaiah getting drafted last night, and then Mace getting picked up as well, which was a conversation we'll table to next segment. But we got a loaded show this morning. Again, we're live at World of Wireless. Come by and see us. Got an action-packed show this morning full of football and basketball content to get to.
Yeah, and I will tell you, we're going to talk about the NBA draft, which is not my wheelhouse, more your wheelhouse. But I think one thing that our listeners will find interesting, I've sure found it interesting, kind of flipping back and forth. Now, you were probably glued to the NBA draft. I was dipping in, dipping out. I wasn't finding the in-between picks of analysis and the conversation probably as interesting as you. But, you know, I was watching for our guys. I wanted to see, you know, particularly when we got around 21 where we thought maybe one of the guys would sneak up and get in. Well, obviously, you know, Mason Jones wasn't part of the plan like we were hoping he was. And I didn't stay up late enough to see Isaiah Joe, but boy, was that great news when we woke up. But one thing that became very clear was, boy, the SEC is heavily involved in this draft. And I put a tweet out that, you know, four of the first 14 picks are from the SEC, and that trend continued through the night. Ty, none of those guys were from Kentucky in those first 14. So what's that tell you? Well, this league's deeper, and it's better because of better coaching. We'll talk to Muss about that coming up. But, you know, your first four picks and none from Kentucky. Now, they caught up, and they made up some ground later on, and it didn't take much longer for that. But 12 SEC picks in this draft, which was more than any other conference. It sounds like an NFL draft, but it wasn't. It was the NBA draft with the SEC leading the way.
And you think about it, so the SEC has both number one overall draft picks, Joe Burrow going to the Cincinnati Bengals, Anthony Edwards getting taken off the board first as well. So that's something also kind of cool as he ends up.
Let the haters hate.
Yeah, so that's just continuing on. And I know we've talked about so many times how dominant SEC football is, how dominant SEC baseball is. Well, now you've kind of got to put basketball at least in the conversation of having the best conference based on draft picks. We'll see what happens with this upcoming year, thinking how deep this SEC basketball conference is going to be. But really excited for a number of young men last night. There was a lot of trials and tribulations that if you did watch, which I saw our Twitter poll yesterday, 80% of people said they weren't going to watch and only 20% said they were. So we'll kind of We'll do some bits and pieces with Mason and Isaiah, but we won't necessarily dive into what occurred, a bunch of stuff last night, because it seems like that not a lot of y'all care about the NBA. But I think back to the LSU-Arkansas conversation, I don't know if I'd necessarily say that if Ed Ogeron doesn't have success, that Sam Pittman isn't hired as the head coach. Yeah. But there's just really not a lot of numerous examples that you can point to where a non-coordinator is hired as a head coach and there's a track record. I mentioned Mario Cristobal. I haven't mentioned Philip Fulmer. He's one. Ed Ogeron is one. But there's not a lot of notable names that you can point to and say, whoa, this is a great example that can be used in Sam Pittman's favor prior to hiring him.
But keep in mind, they tried to hire Lane Kiffin. They tried to hire Mike Leach. You know, at least that's the reports. Now, ADs are never going to come out and say, well, yeah, we hired our third choice, you know, or fourth choice. They're never going to say that, but they tried to hire other guys, and the job became Sam Pittman's, and it seems to worked out. And Sam Pittman's going to pave the way for other guys as well.
You're listening to the Bud Light Seltzer Morning Rush Podcast.
Does a tightrope act. Boy, Houdini's in the house wearing number 3, and nobody's home to watch that house. Touchdown, Hogs! Holy Hog!
Tom, I know you've been really busy all week, so I appreciate you making some time for us. We've heard from Sam Pittman a few times this week, meeting with the Arkansas media on Monday, talking with the SEC media yesterday during the SEC teleconference, and we heard from Ed Orgeron. Ed Orgeron said that it still looks like they're going to be ready to play. How concerned do you think Hunter Yurecek and Sam Pittman are with their numbers come Saturday?
Well, certainly mildly concerned, because when you have an outbreak, you don't know how long it takes maybe for someone to test positive, and so they'll be taking some tests today and getting results tomorrow that could change things. And, you know, from what I understand, there's a decent number of folks who've been who have to be in quarantine because of this. And when Nate Allen asked Sam Pittman yesterday on the SEC teleconference, did he feel confident that they had plenty of backups at certain positions and stuff, there was a long pause before Sam Pittman answered, "We have adequate numbers." So he didn't seem very, you know, happy at all with, you know, the fact that they're down in numbers. And, you know, for them, you look at this, it's a winnable game. They haven't had the boot in many years. And now this hits. And so, you know, it lessens the chance. In fact, I think it swung the betting line over to make LSU the favorite during the course of the week.
Yep. No, you're exactly right, Tom. The betting line started out, Arkansas opened as a 3-point favorite. It's since moved to 2.5 in favor of the LSU Tigers. And Tommy made a good point earlier this week talking about, I don't think people bet millions and millions of dollars on the LSU Tigers. It's wild to think how much intel and information that Vegas seems to get. And you put 2 and 2 together, my guess is they probably had some inside information on the COVID numbers at Arkansas.
Not very well may be the case, but I'll tell you, much like Tennessee having an open date and looking fresh at the start of that game and like on point, had a good game plan and controlled the first half, LSU is in, you know, they're not having a good year. They're 2 and 3, but for them, this is about as a fresh a start, and renewed enthusiasm. Terrace Marshall spoke to the team on Monday about, hey, we got to stay focused. They got their numbers are going back on the upswing after having a lot of quarantining the week before and losing their game against Bama. So when you look at like the seesaw scales of momentum, LSU's seemingly on the upswing, and even though it's a road game, the weather's nice. They don't seem to play here when it's dark, dreary, cold, you know, icy rain, stuff like that. But they like the warm weather, and I think they're going to get the warm weather. So that's why Arkansas is now an underdog in this game. That and the fact that LSU just has great talent, and even though it's really young, and they've been really exploited defensively this year, they've had a chance to hone their schemes a little bit for the Razorbacks.
Arkansas has managed to avoid any postponements to this point. LSU has obviously not been successful in that column after losing their Alabama game. Also, the Florida game's been moved to the 12th for them.
Yeah.
I guess Arkansas, in theory, could play LSU on the 19th if this game doesn't make this weekend, couldn't they, Tom?
You know, I haven't looked at it that closely, but I know that they still have games against, I think it's Ole Miss and A&M.
Well,
Florida,
Ole Miss is
Alabama
on the 5th, and they got Florida scheduled for the 12th. I mean, LSU obviously is, you know, not going to play Alabama on the 19th if they're in the SEC championship. So, yeah. I guess in theory, Arkansas and LSU, if this game's not able to be played this weekend, could go on the schedule on the 19th.
I suppose it's open for them, and I'm sure they're trying to get the Alabama game in before then, because that's Alabama's very likely in the SEC championship game. So I guess it's a possibility. Now, when I did talk to Hunter Yurecek on, it was Monday, I suppose, he said that at that point there had been no discussions of moving any of their games, but circumstances between then and now, like you say, could cause something else.
Yeah, because you know, at some point the league is going to have discussions, or at least consider the possibility if this continues to worsen. If they want to get all five home games for all these teams in, or as many as possible, do you move the SEC championship weekend back to the 26th? And I think in a year where flexibility and everybody working towards a common end has been at least a talking point, I wonder if another week or two, if we're a week or two away from that being a talking point.
You know, it very well could be, Tommy, and that's what Hunter Yurcheck also told me, was that the one thing that they've gotten out of this season is everyone has had to learn to be flexible, and they're trying to accommodate things for all 14 teams. You know, Arkansas is the team that took it on the chin with the scheduling. There's no doubt about that, drawing Georgia and Florida. If you get Kentucky or South Carolina or Vanderbilt this year, the way they're playing, that looks like a W for them. And then, of course, they had the Auburn game taken away from them from an officiating standpoint. So, you know, they could already be looking at having five wins now instead of three.
Tom Murphy with us here on the Morning Rush. Tom, you brought up the Tennessee game, which I thought was interesting, because heading into that football game with Tennessee coming on off a bye, the storyline was this is the game that the Vols can turn their season around, similar to what they did last year after starting out really slow, especially losing against Georgia State. And it looked to be the case that was trending in that direction the first half. Then Arkansas beat their brains out in the second. For LSU, you mentioned Terrace Marshall's players-only meeting. Are they looking at this game as one where they can turn their season around by beating the Razorbacks?
Well, I certainly think so. And it's, you know, it's your self-respect. I mean, they're the defending national champion. They were ranked number six to start the season. And even though people knew they had suffered a lot of personnel losses, they still thought very highly of them. And they got, you know, whipped at home by Mississippi State, who since then, thanks to Barry Odom in Arkansas, people have, you know, learned how to defend them a whole lot better. Mm-hmm. So they're trying to, you know, restore their name, restore their identity. And I'll tell you, that Tennessee game, since you brought it back up, to me that's like a microcosm of Arkansas' season. You know, started off, you know, slowly and they're behind. But they showed, A, they can make changes at halftime that help, you know, basically throttle the Tennessee run game. And they get some big plays and they kind of take over in the trenches and they wind up winning the game. And so that's kind of who Arkansas is right now. They're not as big as they want to be. They're not as powerful and strong as they want to be, but they're heading that way. And Sam said it last night on his radio show, the O-line just keeps getting better and better. And you're seeing now that they're competing better on both sides of the line. And that's the type of team they want to be. And that's why the run game has picked up in recent weeks.
Tom, I think that when you look at what LSU had at quarterback in Miles Brennan, whether it was Ed Ogeron, Scott Linehan, Steve Ensminger, they were confident in Brennan. But now they're having to deal with a little difference with Mac Johnson and TJ Finley. Now, Ed Ogeron said yesterday on the teleconference that they hadn't fully decided who was going to be quarterback starting against Arkansas. I would bet money it's probably going to be TJ Finley. What kind of matchup problems do Finley and Johnson present to the Razorbacks come Saturday?
Well, I think you're right, because Johnson hasn't had near the practice time. Mm-hmm. He missed last week, and Finley started the other game. It's just that he's still a freshman, and he still makes some mental errors. And Arkansas is in position, I think, if they've got the personnel to do this, to try to do some confusing things, maybe get pressure on him. But I guarantee you Finley's legs are going to be part of this equation that they've, like, they put things out there. Okay, if they're going to drop eight, and the guys are covered, you know, we can run our quarterback, and he's a huge dude, and he's got good wheels. So I guarantee you that's going to be a bigger part of LSU's scheming for this game. He's got a big arm. I haven't seen a whole lot of clips from him, but he had a big super game with great completion percentage against South Carolina, and then not so good against Auburn. So I would think that U of A coaches have looked at how Auburn schemed them up and will try to implement some of the same things and try to keep Finley contained because they don't need him running free on the perimeter.
Tom, good stuff as always, man. We appreciate you shifting your times this morning, and we'll recap it all on Monday, see what happens between the Tigers and the Razorbacks.
You bet, guys. See what happens on Saturday. Could be very interesting.
You're listening to the Bud Light Seltzer Morning Rush Podcast.
They just threw him out of the game. He's gotten his second technical, and he's been thrown out of the ball game.
Quick any headlines coming up here on the Morning Rush. I want to start with what Sam Pittman had to say yesterday during the SEC teleconference. He said, we are still within the number ratio and look forward to playing on Saturday. Now, Ed Orgeron, if you heard at the top of the show, they were having a conversation about this game, and he said he got a call from Sam, and they said they were looking forward to it, and the COVID numbers were good. So it looks like all hands on deck for Saturday as far as Hogs, Tigers, and we haven't gotten a report from the SEC office or an update on that. But at this point in time, they will be playing on Saturday.
But hold your breath because there's still more testing to be done.
Yep.
So, I mean, that's the thing. Good for now. I mean, you got to put the disclaimer in there. So we know Missouri's, what, one player in the good, and I think is the report that they have 56, and that's the minimum as what I was reading yesterday. So you're just holding your breath right now. Arkansas has been able, you know, for a while we were dodging the 11 a.m. games. Well, that's the least of your worries is what time you're playing. You just want to be playing.
Yeah.
So, I mean, let's hope that Arkansas has dodged the COVID bullet, so to speak. I don't know a better way to say it, but probably is. But you just hope to be able to just play these last three games without delay, without postponement. Right now, Arkansas does not have a game on the 12th or the 19th, so you got some scheduling leeway, you hope. But, you know, LSU has one game on one of those weeks, so Missouri has a game. Alabama's going to play in the championship game, it appears. So the three teams you have left have some conflicts already on those two games, so you need to get these things played kind of as scheduled to just make sure you get these three games in. And this one's important. Bama's important because they're home games.
Where do you stand on Pete Rose not being in the Hall of Fame?
I've never been one that was willing to be a moralist on this, that Pete Rose absolutely can't be in because he bet on baseball. And I think there's a lot of people that are in the Hall of Fame that they've got plenty of sins as well that they don't want bared out. So I think as gambling becomes more accepted, obviously more legal, that maybe the stance will soften on Pete Rose.
And the reason I bring this up is because he said in the last couple of days that he still bets on MLB games. The reason he is not in the Baseball Hall of Fame is because of him being caught and betting, and not betting against his team, but always, not always, but betting on himself on his team, which Phil and I disagreed with. I felt like, hey, he bet on his team. I'd bet on myself, too. I don't see the problem with that.
Well, it's against the rules. That's the problem.
Phil was pretty – yeah, but so was doing steroids, and there's plenty of players
That's my problem. I mean, that's if which sin's greater? I don't know. I mean, that's not for me to decide, but all of that was against the rules. So either let none of them in or let all of them
in. That was the point I often brought up, but it was interesting to say that he – I guess just doesn't care what people think, because he said that he still bets on MLB games, which I found kind of interesting. Look, his stats speak for itself. There's no doubt about that. But obviously that is the reason that he is not in the Hall of Fame.
He's at peace with the fact that he's not getting in. If he gets in at this point in his life, he gets in.
So. But I don't want to happen is if after, because he's older, he pass and then they put him in.
That's exactly what's going to happen.
It's going to happen, but that's going to be irritating, I think, as far as Pete Rose is concerned. So we mentioned it last segment. Isaiah Joe gets drafted 49th overall to the Philadelphia 76ers. Mason Jones signs a free agent deal. Interesting text in from Chaz in Fayetteville, and he brings up a good point. With James Harden reportedly wanting out of the Houston Rockets organization, he's trying to make his way to Brooklyn, play with Kyrie, play with Kevin Durant. That's going to open up some scoring opportunity for a number of different players on the Rockets. Maybe Mason can slide in there and pick up that opportunity. He's not going to be Harden-level-esque in his first year, obviously. But if James Harden leaves that organization, they're going to need some scoring. What a great opportunity for Mason to try and slide in there and take that.
Coach Musk tweeted this last night about there's a lot of paths to the NBA or something along those lines, and you know, Mason Jones' path to where he's at today has been a windy road already. Why would his path to the NBA be any different? So I would suspect that he's going to just outwork whatever it takes. He may it may be a year or two or three, or he may have to play overseas, come back. He may have to go through, you know, what we've known as the D League, now the G League. But he's got a great sounding board or a great person in Eric Musselman to kind of guide him or at least answer some questions, because he knows all of that by coaching international, coaching development leagues in the old D League, now G League. So there's a guy that can at least kind of point him in some right directions, I would think.
And want to remind everyone, Eric Musselman will be joining us at 7:15 on his birthday, of all things. Got a call from Mike Kaywood, the basketball SID, yesterday, and said Mus wants to come on his birthday. So that shows
he wanted
you,
to come on our show?
Yeah, I wanted to come on our birthday.
Does he have us confused with somebody?
I guess. So I don't know. Last quickie headline for you. Pepsi has unveiled its new apple pie flavored cola for the holidays. Will you be trying this?
Because
I love apple pie.
I love apple pie.
Do you like Pepsi, though?
I don't like Pepsi. Must likes Pepsi.
We need to ask him about that.
But doesn't he like Diet Pepsi?
He's a Diet Pepsi man. But maybe he'll splurge for the holidays.
That's one of the few things that me and Must can't agree on.
Diet Pepsi?
Diet Pepsi. Now, apple pie is supposed to be hot. Now, I can't think of – and cola is not supposed to be hot. So I can't think of anything worse than a...
Have you never had cold apple pie?
Well, I have, but I mean, apple pie hot is superior to cold apple pie.
Do you put cheese on your apple pie?
No, that's a northern thing.
I think my dad...
I put Cool Whip or ice cream.
Okay, that's probably the way to go. So my dad's not doing cheese anymore. He has one pizza a month, and that's it. That's the only cheese intake he's doing. But I feel like my dad did that every once in a while. Now, he's diabetic. So he's not a huge sweet fan, but every once in a while, I feel like when we'd go to a restaurant, he'd get cheese on his apple pie. That is something I've never done, and I love apple pie. But that's going to round out your quick-hitting headlines. Want to dive into this next conversation about Ed Orgeron and kind of what he had to say about Greg Brooks, Joe Fouché, and that's coming up here on The Morning Rush.
All right, quick-hitting headlines are brought to you by Kevin Hickey and his law partners. If you're building a home, that can be a stressful time, whether you're the homeowner or the contractor. If you've got changes in plans, subcontractors not showing up, non-payment, any of these issues can cause homeowners or contractors to be at odds, and this can result in lawsuits. If you're the homeowner or the contractor and you find yourself needing legal help, call the attorneys at Kevin Hickey Law Partners. They have experience in representing homeowners and contractors. Brad Hall or Kevin Hickey are available to you to take your call at 479-434-2414 in the River Valley office, 479-802-6560 in the Northwest Arkansas office, or you can find those numbers and more about Kevin and Brad both online. New web address. So remember this one. It's easy to remember. ARTrialLawyers.com. That's ARTrialLawyers.com for the attorneys at the Kevin Hickey Law Partners.
Here was Ed Orgeron being asked, and I believe Tom Murphy asked them this question, is either Tom or Bob, about some Louisiana kids. He mentioned Greg Brooks, mentioned Joe Fouché, and kind of what went on during their recruitment to LSU.
Here's what you want. Sure, yeah. I believe both of those young men came down camp, and we were very close to taking both of them. You know, you can't take everybody, but they were right there as very important prospects in the state of Louisiana. I'm glad to see both of those guys went well. I know the high school coach as well. I'm glad to see they're playing well. And, yeah, when you're from Louisiana and you don't go to LSU and you play against LSU, you fire up the team and you want to have a good game, and I understand that.
You think about Greg Brooks, you think about Joe Fouché. Greg was the one that had that pick six in the Mississippi State game. Joe Fouché had two interceptions in the game this year as well. But there's a good chunk of Louisiana kids that have had program-impacting plays throughout their tenure at Arkansas. Anthony Lucas, Richard Smith, Tony Bua. Think about this year. Devion Warren, Joe Fouché, Devin Bush, some other guys in the past, Scooter Harris, Jericho Nelson. I mean, there's some guys that you can label and know immediately. Louisiana, we talk about Dallas, Texas. We talk about Tulsa. Louisiana, like the Shreveport area, not so much New Orleans and Baton Rouge, but Arkansas's had a good chunk of Louisiana kids that have helped impact their program for the better.
Well, and it's I mean, the old stat is what more NFL draft picks per capita come out of the state of Louisiana than any other state. So I mean, why would that? And it borders your state. Why would you not be there? And I know there's other colleges and there's the Saints, but I mean LSU's the kingpin in that state. I mean, so but why would you not want to slip down there and recruit that state? They can't sign them all.
They can't sign them
all. A&M's trying to get some, and LSU's going to go across that Texas line and try to get some right in your wheelhouse over there in that Northeast Texas corner. So I mean, absolutely. I mean. Particularly in northern Louisiana, that's been a great spot, not just for football, but you know, ever heard of a guy named Scotty Thurman? He came out of a place called Ruston. So northern Louisiana, there's some kids that certainly you know, have some affection for the state of Arkansas there.
No question about it. It's about 5.5 hours from Fayetteville, just looking at my Google Maps right now. So it's not too far, but, I mean, you mentioned just most of those guys that I just listed off are from, like, the Shreveport area, and I just think that's kind of cool. And you think about you brought up basketball. I mean, you think about the one you almost had is Karl Malone. Like, that's another guy that you almost had as far as that is concerned. So this has been an area, not only in football, but basketball as well, that Arkansas has taken advantage of.
Just think about this, you know, because we're sitting not very far from the interchange of what would be I-49 that would connect Fayetteville, and you mentioned Shreveport. Think about, you know, and we may never live to see it, and you're a lot younger than me, and we're both a lot younger than Ben, who's sitting across the showroom from us here at World of War. Think about if we ever get I-49 connected. What kind of pipeline that might could be, where Louisiana and that Shreveport area and even Northeast Texas, that's what. Hey, you want to come up with a reason to get I-49 built? Football recruiting. There's your reason. That just kind of connected in my head as we're talking about this, because then you'd have a 4-lane road from Fayetteville to not only Louisiana Shreveport, but also that Northeast Texas area, Tyler and Lufkin and all that area down in there would be so much easier to access for kids to come to Fayetteville. So we got to get this bridge across river.
Is that an ASIN? Is that a Trump? Is that a Biden thing?
That's all of them.
All of them?
All
okay.
of them.
I'll get them on the phone.
We got to get about $1 billion and get this road done. We got to get this bridge over here to help football recruiting.
Yeah, that should be the main rationale and reasoning behind that.
I mean, but think about it. I mean, it's 71 south, or you go through Oklahoma on 270 through Tallahena and that beautiful drive, but it's, you know, try driving from the River Valley to Texarkana right now, because that's how you got to go. It's 3 hours, and it's a lot of two-lane. You get a 4-lane road similar to I-49 all the way down there, and I promise you the availability of kids that want to come to the University of Arkansas will open up, because mom and dad can come watch games, come visit. Kids can go home much faster, much easier. That area will open up when that highway opens up, whenever that is.
And you've talked about this with me a little bit with the Fayetteville. What's the Little Rock to Fayetteville? What's that before the trail? What is it now?
Well, I mean, there's 23 that goes from Ozark up there. That's the actual pick trail. But old 71, I think, is what you're actually talking about.
Okay, so whatever was built to, as far as, like, get people up from the central Arkansas area to Fayetteville.
Well, I-49.
That's what I'm trying. I don't know streets. Okay. I'm 25. So, okay.
Believe it or not, Ty, there was a day that when you got to Alma, you didn't get on I-49. You got on Old 71.
Yeah, you've talked about how many more people congregate from the central Arkansas,
Absolutely.
Southern Arkansas, eastern Arkansas area because of that road and how much less time it takes to get up. And that would be, it's not just for football purposes, for business purposes, and an array of reasons. That would be another thing that I think is just another example of that occurring and that happening. So,
I mean, but you just think about, I mean, I mentioned Louisiana and that Northeast Texas area. You just think about South Arkansas. You think about Texarkana. You think about Hope. You think about everything along that I-30 corridor, that there's no real good way to get south to north in this state and kids to come, you know, going south becomes just as attractive as coming north a lot of times.
Got a text in here from Zach in Ozark. He says, you can't hardly get to North Texas without getting a ticket in those small town speed traps. And my dad has preached to me since I was 16 to be very careful of congregating through small towns. Well, with that, if they ended up building that road, that wouldn't necessarily be a factor as far as that is concerned.
I'm just saying, one day, and I don't know, like I said, I don't know if I'll live long enough. I'm 40, but be 45 next month. I don't know if I'll live long enough to see I-49 completed, but that's a hotbed for recruiting in northern Louisiana, northeast Texas. It'll just be easier for kids to get up there someday whenever that's built.
Push the agenda, Sam Pittman. That's what you got to do.
So. There's another reason for all of us as Arkansans. One more reason, in Tommy Kraft's opinion, to get that road built.
Before we go to David in South Arkansas, you mentioned new roads. We were driving to Panama City Beach one time when I was a couple years back, and we took this one road that it had on us on Google Maps, Tommy. It said new, and it was in Birmingham. It said new something.
Yeah.
We're like, okay, it just got built. Cool.
I-20 corridor.
Is that what it is?
Yep.
All right, so we're driving on it. All of a sudden, it starts getting rocky, and it's dark outside. My buddy Saban didn't have his lights on, and luckily we stopped because at the end there was a cliff. Like, it was just a drop off. So we're lucky we stopped at that point, and then just go escapading off to our death at that point.
Luckily, like Chevy Chase on vacation.
Just
been out in the desert.
Luckily, we had the wherewithal to turn around and decide, hey, this road is not complete.
You didn't see the barricades?
We did. No, there was no barricades. That's what was weird about that. It was odd. So 877-377-6963, the number to call or text in. Going to South Arkansas, welcoming in David, who's got a question on Arkansas recruiting. David, you're on the Morning Rush.
Well, good morning, gentlemen. I'm enjoying the conversation about LSU recruiting in South Arkansas. Listening to my dad, he tells me how Highway 167 was supposedly blacktopped from El Dorado to Baton Rouge just so LSU could come up and recruit South Arkansas. And you think about how many players have gone from South Arkansas to LSU and Ole Miss through the years because, like you say, Fayetteville was like God near impossible to get to, it seemed like, from South Arkansas. But that's one of the reasons I hate LSU and Ole Miss as much as anybody, as well as Texas, of course. It's just growing up, and there's a lot of people in this area that go to LSU and Ole Miss, God knows why. But they've always recruited this area, always been a connection. Someday I'll get my dad to tell me more stories about it. There's money involved back in the 50s and 60s. I guarantee you that, people going to LSU and places. Anyway, wonderful, wonderful stories. Thanks, guys.
Appreciate it, David. I think of an example. Now, this isn't football or basketball, and I think his father went there, but Jaden Hill, who was a superb pitcher from Ashdown, elected to choose LSU over Arkansas. And I mean, I can't exactly place Ashdown on a map.
It's
by
Texarkana.
I know it. Yeah, I know it's southern Arkansas. Now it's southern.
North, it's north of Texarkana.
Yeah.
Really.
So when it comes to just that conversation, you hopefully will be able to get more of those southern Arkansas kids, and they choose the Razorbacks over LSU. But you mentioned the road part of that. As definitely any improvement on Arkansas roadways in the future will help football recruiting.
You're listening to the Bud Light Seltzer Morning Rush Podcast.
A bright red Razorback caravan is headed to Nebraska, and this time, we're coming for the whole damn thing.
Let's go to the phone lines and welcome in Rich in Davenport this morning. RD, what's up, man? I kind of want to start with a conversation we had earlier, the importance of Louisiana recruiting. We talk about Oklahoma, we talk about Missouri, we talk about Dallas, Texas, but I think when you look at some of the Louisiana kids that have come to school at Arkansas that have played football, you think about Scooter Harris, Anthony Lucas, Richard Smith, Devion Warren. I mean, how important is the state of Louisiana to Arkansas football?
Yeah, you know, definitely in the past it's been very important. You usually get anywhere from on a given year, anywhere from 2 to 4, 6 kids from the state of Louisiana. So it's been very, very productive state for Arkansas, like you noted. And so going up against LSU, being able to beat those guys, is, I don't think it's a game changer, but it definitely helps with Louisiana kids, especially the kids that are, maybe being overlooked by LSU, but they're being recruited by others.
And I think that's always an interesting conversation when you have someone from another state that's going against the in-state school, this being Greg Brooks Jr. and Joe Fouché. Ed Ogeron was asked about that yesterday from Tom Murphy or Bob Holt. I'm forgetting the source. But, Richard, to go off that, how motivated are guys like Greg and Joe going against an in-state school that maybe didn't recruit them as hard as they should?
No, they got a chip on their shoulder. There's no doubt about it, I'm sure. Probably, just about every Louisiana kid wants to go to LSU, like the vast majority of Arkansas kids want to go to Arkansas. So you feel slighted, and here's an opportunity to show, hey, you missed out. And I'm sure they're going to do whatever they can to point that out on Saturday.
I was making a point with Ty earlier that if we could ever get the south end of I-49 built in this state to connect from Alma down to Texarkana and build that corridor, what a pipeline that might be. Actually, we think about it just for commerce and for the economy and transportation, but you think about it from a recruiting standpoint, that northeast Texas, northern Louisiana area, the ease to get to Fayetteville, I've never really thought about it till today about a recruiting angle, but that area right there might open up some doors to get to Fayetteville. Moms and dads and kids might be a lot more open to the idea of getting to Northwest Arkansas with the ease of that road if it could only get built in our lifetime, RD.
Yeah, no, you're right. You're right. And heck, we lived that in our lifetime. Just Alma to Fayetteville. Yeah. Just having to go that two lane for so many years, and then to finally be able to have that. I mean, it's also life saving. Let's face it. To be able to drive on a four lane versus a two lane, and so many times it's just you dread driving. Anytime you're kind of regulated to a two lane, you just dread that trip versus a four lane. So it definitely would help.
Yeah, people might be willing to vote in a toll road or pay more tax if they thought it helped football recruiting. That might be the angle for the governor or whoever to get the money raised. If they thought we could get some 4 and 5 stars in recruiting, that might be the play politically.
Yeah, you'd have some that are definitely. On the no side or on the kind of on the fence, and they go, Razorbacks, yeah, okay, let's do that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Talking with Richard Davenport here on Recruiting Thursday, brought to you by Breen RV. RD, we got a text earlier this morning. I think it's Dennis and Van Buren. He's asking, are there still any in-state recruits that the Hogs are looking at, like Mason Brotherton, Jaden Williams, who are trying to flip Drayden Norwood from Texas A&M?
Right now, I would probably say no, but I know Arkansas continues to evaluate kids throughout the season, and who knows, there may be a late offer, but as of right now, I would definitely lean towards no, but you just can't say that 100% certainty.
Richard, we were talking about basketball and just kind of the football connection a little bit. Eric Musselman, when he came on with us, he was talking about the importance of Isaiah getting drafted last night, Mason signing that two-way deal with the Houston Rockets. How important is it for Arkansas to continue to have guys drafted or picked up by NBA teams to continue Eric Musselman's success on the recruiting trail?
Well, that and going forward, it definitely would help in recruiting because, every kid wants to go to the NBA. And if you're not producing NBA talent, they'll start looking at other schools that are. So you hope that Isaiah and Mason are successful on the next level. And you hope the next batch of guys that are, NBA worthy do well and get drafted, and that kind of just kind of helps your recruiting. And you can just point to the, you know, to a list of guys that have gone on to the NBA.
Yeah, you just, you know, when you look at the draft last night and you look at how the SEC performed, that was kind of, I guess, surprising to some degree to me. We were talking about four of the first 14 and none of them being Kentucky. Of course, they had Anthony Edwards out of Georgia early. You had Lewis out of Alabama. You had a player from Vanderbilt. So the SEC performed well in this draft and led the nation with the most picks of any conference with 12. So, Richard, it shows you, if you're a player out there and you're evaluating which league might be best suited for you, the SEC is certainly making its case that it's back as one of the best leagues in the Power Five in college basketball.
I guarantee you that wasn't overlooked by kids that are considering the SEC schools. There's no doubt about that. And then you know so many times you hear in football, well, the SEC is only Alabama. Then we all know that's not true. And the same can be said for basketball because Kentucky usually turns out so many NBA prospects, but for it to be distributed throughout the league, that kind of tells you a little bit more about the depth of the SEC, and kids look at that and think, hey, the ACC's traditionally considered the top league in the nation, or the SEC is right up there with them.
Yeah, I mean, 12 from the SEC, 10 from the Pac-10, 8 overseas, 8 from the ACC, but, I had two that didn't go to college, one from JUCO. I mean, you can kind of go through the list. Anthony Edwards goes number one overall from Georgia, clearly a football school, not a great basketball tradition. To me, what I take out of this, when you look through the disparity, one from a prep school, if you're a player and you can play, they're going to find you. So, I mean, go where you want to go. Go for play for the coach you want to play at. If you're a player, they're going to come find you, Richard.
No, there's no doubt about that.
I mean that's the bottom line. So
the word gets around. If you can play, the word gets around. The scouts come see you play. You talking about Edwards, I was kind of surprised. I thought he might have dropped a little bit on that statement saying that, that football was his main love. Because, man, I tell you what, in basketball, that 82-game schedule, it's a grind. To me, it's just like college football and most of the sports on the next level. It's such a grind. You got to love that sport in order to be successful. And but who knows? I'm sure they did their homework but that kind of surprised me a little bit.
You just wonder, like an Anthony Edwards, if he had chosen Duke or Kentucky or one of the big household names in college basketball, is his value with Nike or Under Armour or some of the equipment companies worth more? I mean, I don't think his value with the Timberwolves would be worth more, but would his value outside of basketball be worth more if he'd went somewhere other than Georgia to Duke, Kentucky, Kansas, UCLA, somewhere like that?
No, you make a good point. And let's face it, especially those the lottery pick guys, that's where they make a lot of money.
Yeah. You're just on TV more at Duke than you are at Georgia, period. National TV.
Absolutely.
Sure.
Definitely. I mean, his profile nationally would be much higher.
Yeah.
Well, RD, before we let you go, I know that we talk football, we talk basketball recruiting, but I just want to let you know that you will probably see, I'll send you a picture this weekend. There's this new incredible wing place up in Northwest Arkansas, and I just wanted to give you a heads up on that I will be devouring some hot wings this weekend that I'm sure you would enjoy as well.
Yeah, I always expect some food tweets from you each week, so I'll be looking forward to it.
I think my food tweets are more controversial sometimes than my sports opinions, but I guess that's the way she goes sometimes. So, all right, Richard,
everybody has an opinion on food now.
Exactly.
Everybody.
Exactly right. Richard, we always appreciate your time on a Recruiting Thursday, man, and we will talk next Thursday.
We'll see you guys. Have a good one.
Your number one source of local news and information you need.
Bud Light Seltzer, 5% ABV and only 100 calories. We'd put it up against any other seltzer out there.